John, still with us?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Hey, that was all.
John, don't you think the high-priced fertilizer? Well, let me just rephrase it. When in doubt,
that was a fun program, incidentally.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a load of fun.
When in doubt, the guys out west, the areas, when it push comes to shove, wouldn't they be more inclined to plant beans out there and in these areas instead of putting a corn planter in the ground?
It certainly strikes my fancy. Yeah. I mean, you go through the budgets. I go through my budgets, and I say, gee, I can plant beans just as well. Plus, I might want to stay with rotation. And another thing that I keep hearing, I don't know if this is true or not. You all know this more than I do, but I keep hearing that the elite corn varieties are well oversold. And we're out of them down here. So we're getting the secondary varieties if you're late in getting your seed order.
Share with us the idea of this crop insurance. How can they reform it or to help you guys out a little more?
Yeah, John, before you answer that, we will use this on the web at some point, so just be aware of that.
Well, look, I've got a farm. Let's see, my history on beans because of double cropping and all that is, let's just say, 35 bushels, okay? So my crop insurance says, okay, I get 35 bushels times 75% of that. So they insuring me to 26 bushels for $20 an acre, and that's, you know, that's pushing it. But at $8, maybe I should be taking it. I hadn't quite made up my mind whether I'm going to do it or not, frankly.
So the revenue-based products don't work for you guys, or you just...
Well, I mean, put it this way. If you think you're going to have to spend an extra $20 an acre to get insurance at, let's say, 20, 22 bushels an acre on beans, is it really worth spending? Because you got to have a pretty damn bad crop to make 20 bushels. I mean, does that make some sense? I don't know. Maybe it did. I should be. That's the way I look at it. So I'm leaning to not taking it.
And by putting the $20 in your pocket, you still have $20 more.
Yeah, same program. But now, if you got a higher yield, it depends on every farm's different. You know,
right.
You got different yield histories and different deals within it. If you have a farm with a good yield history on it, boy, I love crop insurance. How are your farms? Are your crop insurance based on real time yields, or are they stuck in 3 or 4 or 5 years ago yields?
They're real time.
It's last year, isn't it?
Yeah, minimum 4 years up to 10 years of personal. Now, one thing that we're looking at, and you got to pencil through it. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. But you can take out crop insurance with no cap around here. Short calls, well out of the money, and finance a good portion of that, still allowing yourself a pretty good upside on the crop insurance.
Now that makes some sense. That makes some good sense.
John, what's the farmland prices doing down here with higher commodity prices?
I remember last time I was on, y'all were asking me, they asked me what farmland prices were, and I said, oh, 12, 13, 14 an acre, and y'all said, are you buying? I said, no, I'm selling. Well, they're now about $1,000 higher. In fact, I had a guy from Minnesota here the whole day looking to buy farmland in the south because he's $4,000 and $5,000 up there, and he can get irrigated acres down here for under $2,000. So he thinks it's a steal, and it probably is. If you think corn's going to hang around $4.
Well, actually, do you think that? I don't know whether we really established that in the middle of the show.
First thing that comes to my mind is 600 million bushels of corn is out. I mean, you're out. Because 600 million means that somebody's got some corn and somebody over here doesn't have any, and that's terribly low.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I think we're all vastly underestimating the potential of how much acreage it's bringing in worldwide. And the idea, I didn't mention this, but all of a sudden you're seeing tremendous crop estimates out of South America. Well, part of that is not due to acreage, it's due to the idea that, gee, if we fertilize this corn, we can get an extra 30, 40 bushels.
John, one other one here. You're on the our feeling here is, at least mine, is the boys have oversold, 2006, and they've got themselves into pretty deep sales on 2007 here.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feeling on the – have they sold a lot of beans? And you basically made the comment they sold the wheat as well.
Yeah, I don't know what the farmer's doing. Oh, and I'll ask y'all one thing. This thing really bothers me, and it's not addressed by anybody. USDA has ethanol consumption up 550 or 34% this year, okay? You know what it's actually up?
Help us.
It's up 26%. It's up 150 bushels an acre, 150 billion bushels less than the current USDA. And then the current USDA estimate
gallons, is
we're going to go up another billion and 50 bushels next year. Now, if we're not going to make this year's, how does a billion and 50 look for next year? In other words, I'm beginning to wonder if we're not all overestimating ethanol.
So you think the 3.2 is high?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, they got 2.150 this year, and they're going to it's going to be a stretch to make two.
Well, Wyatt appears to agree with you on
that. Well, we're experiencing a situation right now with an ethanol plant where there's currently not rail transport for it. The basis is doing a lot of the work here. I'm talking ethanol basis. And there's what's called discretionary blenders out there, which they may add 10% ethanol or they may not. And as that ethanol basis becomes wider, then it becomes more attractive for the discretionary blenders. So I think this is a virgin market, or I don't know if that's the word for it, but it's so new that there's a lot of things that are going to be worked out in it. And as we get more plants online, this is going to, I don't want to say flood the market, but it's going to present a marketplace where maybe localized areas add more discretionary blending. Now, there's some areas, especially on the West Coast and East Coast, where they have no choice in the matter. But the largest chunk of the U.S. has discretionary blending. It's open market, where if the ethanol's cheap enough, they'll add it.
So what you're saying is that just that last sentence, if the ethanol's cheap enough, they'll add it.
But
the numbers – the gallons will be there, but whether they'll be blended or not is the question. Is that right?
Well, I think they will be blended if the basis becomes wide enough.
If it's profitable to the oil companies, is what you're saying.
Exactly. If it's profitable to the retail gas distributors, it will. And it will become that because the market will be flooded, and there's no one out there that wants to sit on a boatload of ethanol.
And then I'm saying that they're not building as many plants as everybody thinks they are.
Agreed.
And another thing is, the plants that we're turning out are more efficient. So a lot of these statistics are based on, like I'm saying, it's up 26%. I'm basing it on 2.65 gallons to a bushel, and really the new plants are going like 2.85, so it's even worse.
That's right. At our plant in Michigan, we've had no problems producing to nameplate and beyond capacity. Because of what you're saying, it's a newer plant. It's a little more efficient than the older ones.
What conversion rate are you getting per bushel?
I don't want to quote that, but I'm serious. I don't want to quote that, but I know that it is beyond the original expectation, like you're saying.
What's the boilerplate on it then?
What's that?
What's the boilerplate number? Is it a 2.8?
No, I'm 2.4 if I'm not mistaken. But again, don't quote me on this.
Oh, I think the typical one's 2.7, 2.8.
Yeah.
Another thing is, what about biodiesel? I mean, no one's making any money making biodiesel. Unfortunately, I'm in the middle of a huge biodiesel plant. Shoot, margins are zero.
I can say there's a pretty good stockpile of oil building up. We all know that.
Yeah.
At some point, the biodiesel becomes a little cheaper. I can say that regardless of it becoming cheaper, I can't say that people want to use it right now. There's some major issues out there regarding the quality of it and how it affects your engine. And if you're a heavy diesel machine operator, you want to put the best product in your engine that you
can. Well, the bull is basically saying at some point in time the world is going to, in the big growth part, Pacific Rim, India, and China, will take a lot more vegetable eating oil and edible oils. And I think that's where this market's actually looking at.
The market's not – so the biodiesel is a false market?
No. I think it's a help and a factor, but I think that the market is looking on some tremendous –
But it's the edible oils, caloric intake.
Well, look at Malaysia. You keep talking about all the amount of biodiesel plants in there. Well, that area of the world, they subsidize oil down to as much as 25 cents a gallon. And how in the hell are they going to compete with 25 cents a gallon diesel or gasoline – with no subsidies? We got a dollar a gallon subsidy in the U.S., and we're not making money. Cannot make money at these levels. Bean oil is too high, and crude oil and diesel are too low.
Give us some ideas on spreads or trades that excite you, John.
Short November beans, 07 and 08.
There you go.
I mean, I love 08 at over $8. My God, I just do. I think Brazil is going to continue to go up. The biodiesel thing, to me, is not what it's cracked up to be. And I think we'll find more acres around the world. I think Brazil will be up another 10% next year. So that would be my, if you put a gun on me and said that's what you got to do in grains, I'd do that.
Okay, so they're going to ship, speaking of Brazil, they're going to ship, what, 30 to 40 million bushel, I think, this year on export. How much more do you think that they can get out of fertilized acreage as opposed to just adding acreage?
I don't know. I didn't know when it's frightens me. It's like y'all talking about it, the Ukraine. I mean, I just, $5 wheat and $4 corn changes a lot of production practices.
Well, Ukraine. I was on the ground in Ukraine speaking of that one last summer. Boy, they look like they're a place to start. If the drought-resistant corn rolls around, Ukraine will be a huge hit for corn.
John, do you have many CRP acres down in the Mid-South?
No, very few.
Okay, how are they going to entice these people in the West getting out of that area?
I don't know. I think it's so fascinating. I don't know. The contracts come due. This guy from Minnesota was in my office today. He was trying to pay. He was buying the land where the farm where the land was coming out of CRP next summer, and back into production. It's a tough subject. There's a lot of fragile land in there that's not very good, and then there's some good land in there.
I want you to go back and talk a little bit more about something for me, because we don't talk about this at all here, but the Plains area, the fallow acres, and are there really 20 million of those out there?
Yeah. You can look at I just looked at a government publication just this week, 20 million. And they've got the second wettest winter ever, and the highest new crop prices ever. So my imagination runs around and says, oh, my God, what happens there?
And what are they going to put on it, corn?
Milo, maybe, soybeans,
Milo. Gotcha. Okay.
Corn, wheat. I don't know, any combination thereof. It wouldn't be wheat. It's too late for that.
Yeah.
But I would think Milo, corn, and soybeans are certainly in the mix. Milo's a big number.
I could throw a big monkey wrench in things.
I can say that Milo demand in the Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana is up. I know some producers down there in some of the clay pan soils that are going to Milo. They're going to plant Milo now, and they say it's just as profitable as corn. They've got an outlet around Evansville, Indiana. And back to what you're saying about the plains, I think the truly big issue there is water.
Yeah.
Whether, aside from any drought-resistant corn, water. Water's a big issue. They are maxed out on their irrigation capacity.
True. It's dry. If it's going to be, it's going to be dry land. It's not going to be more irrigated, that's for sure. I agree totally.
John, we appreciate you sticking around.
It was great fun to talk. I loved y'all's discussion. That was really lively.
It was a lot of fun.
It was.
Hey, thank you much.
Thanks for having me.
I look forward to talking to you again in about 6 months.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Todd.
Bye-bye.